Hello, everyone, and welcome to Vision and Voices, a podcast where ordinary people are doing extraordinary work in your neighborhood. My name is James Nguyen. I am your host for this podcast. And today we have Teresa Carroll, who is an author, a business owner, has her own nonprofit, and she's going to talk to us a little bit about domestic violence. She's going to talk to us about poetry. She's going to talk to us about how people can use skills that they have that are innate, that are inside of them, to overcome what seems like insurmountable tasks. So, Teresa, welcome to the show.
Thank you.
First, let's just jump right into it. You're an author.
Yes. I published my first book. It was published in October 2017.
What type of book is it?
It's a poetry book. It was me trying to journal my issues and battling low self-esteem, lack of confidence, and domestic violence. But it turned into poetry. All of my stories began to rhyme. But I've been writing poetry since I was six, so it was kind of easier to do it that way.
But also, you said it was kind of a way for you to journal some of the things that you were going through at the time. What we really want to kind of dig into today is domestic violence, the relationship between domestic violence and mental health. Volunteers of America serves a number of people who have mental health issues. Some of those folks come from domestic violence or abusive relationships in their families, where it would not necessarily be a husband and wife situation, but could be any family member or even a non-family member.
Yes.
Which ultimately brings on an onset of mental health. So tell us about your story.
I was married for 17 years, with him for 19 years. And it was a physical, mental, emotional type of domestic violence. It wasn't every day. It didn't start at the onset of our relationship. It just was a gradual thing. I think I took so much. I know that I took so much, and I just forgave and accepted a lot of things he was doing, because when I thought about it, I had low self-esteem from my biological father not being in my life.
Mm-hmm.
When we started going through the separation and the divorce part of it, it made me sit down and think about it, and that's when I discovered the root of my issues. And it was from low self-esteem and the lack of confidence. And I remember as far as six, experiencing the loneliness, just feeling abandoned.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's why I accepted so much abuse during my relationship, because I didn't want to feel abandoned again. I wanted to make sure that I was doing everything so he would stay. And, you question your worth, you know, a lot of times when people leave or you don't understand something. So
you said you question your worth.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
What does that mean?
In all of my relationships, not just intimate relationships, but friendships as well, you try to be perfect so people won't leave you. I felt worthless because if my biological father, my blood, would not stay with me, then no one else would.
Mm-hmm.
So, and to know that he only lived maybe 10 miles away from me my entire life and never intervened or interacted with us was crucial to, my self-esteem and how I felt about myself.
Especially now with the Me Too campaign and women coming out and speaking and showing tremendous courage,
mm-hmm,
and insight and all of those things to come out and talk about abusive relationships in different ways.
Right.
What was the trigger for you? What made you say enough is enough?
It was part of my healing. I think when I started writing, it wasn't to publish a book. It was just to try and heal and try to get all my emotions out. Because I was going crazy, honestly, mentally, just 19 years. How do you put that back together? How do you lose that? How do you let that go? So my writing kind of turned into my healing process. Going to the courthouse and seeing other people dealing with it. It was like, okay, maybe it was embarrassing and I was ashamed, but mm-hmm. I honestly felt like me overcoming that would help because no one knew, not even my family. And I was right. Once I told my truth to my family and friends, it was like a release.
Wow.
Yeah.
You said it was embarrassing. We hear a lot of people say that. The question I want to ask is why? What was embarrassing?
I was raised by strong Black women. I was never afraid of anything. I was always the go-to. You know, I protected my sisters, my brother, my family members. They always came to me to protect them. How could I go to them and tell them I couldn't even protect myself? That was kind of hard for me. You know, like I was always a strong person, but I put on my smile and my strength every day as I dressed. But inside I wasn't that way. So it was embarrassing. It was shameful that I would allow someone to do that to me, that I would carry on my low self-esteem and lack of confidence for years without saying anything. It was embarrassing. I'm over it. I get emotional when I talk about it because it didn't have to be that way. I think if I felt I had that support, I would have come out earlier and I probably would have helped other people. So,
right. In your story, mm-hmm. I know you write poetry, beautiful. What about that is helpful to others, do you think?
With this book, I think it's helpful because I'm not just...
Wait, before you go on, mm-hmm. because we're emotional too.
Yes.
Let's plug the book.
Okay.
We have to say the name of the book and where people can get it so that we all understand what it is.
Okay, the name of the book is Poemful Disclosures, and it's by Teresa Yvonne. It's available on Amazon and Kindle and at my website, www.poemfulllc.com.
Great. So now what's helpful about the book?
Because I'm not just, I'm very transparent. I'm very honest and open. I tell my flaws, my faults, and what I did. But I'm telling a story. Mm-hmm. Like I said, I just started writing down my feelings, but they all started to rhyme. So I'm basically telling them the embarrassment. I'm telling them how I had to forgive myself, how I had to let go, how I was able to move on, what was revealed to me as I wrote and as I began to heal. So
I think something you just said is so important. You forgave yourself. I think that people oftentimes lack that. They forget to do that.
Yeah.
They may forgive others.
Right.
But they never forgive themselves, and not just in domestic violence situations, but in any type of difficult situation where people are having difficulty overcoming.
Yes.
They haven't forgave themselves. They, you know, whether it's a mother passing and you still remember you took $10 out of her pocketbook and you never said anything, you hold that guilt in.
Yeah.
That oftentimes keeps you from moving forward in your life.
Yes, it does.
It's beautiful that you have that insight to understand that that is an important piece.
I had to. I figured out that I had to forgive me. I had to, in order to like myself, you know, I had to start back over from infancy, honestly, just to be open. And I didn't start loving myself and liking myself till I was 43 years old. So I had to go backwards, you know, and forgave myself for everything from age, as far as I can remember, 6, you know.
So. You know, I'm going to interject here. Mm-hmm. I don't know. It's just kind of what I do. You said 43.
Yes.
You said 19 years you were with this person.
Yes.
17 years married.
Yes.
if I may say, you don't look that old. So tell us about that. Tell us about that journey and you going way back and looking at your entire life.
Right.
And saying, you know, hey, I got to make a change. I've got to forgive myself for some of this stuff and take ownership of what I can and overcome.
Well, like I tell everyone, it was revealed to me a long time ago that he was not the one. And I'm just going to be honest. You know how you dream up this story and you want this Prince Charming, and he was the best, the best one in front of me, I should say. Mm-hmm. I really believe that we could grow and build a life together. The only thing is he didn't believe in the same things I believed in. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm a Christian. He's not. You know, so I took my vows very seriously. A lot of times I would bend because I didn't want to cause any strife in the household, any more strife than what I had to go through. So he was very manipulative, very controlling, but I allowed it. I had 4 kids I had to take care of. Mm-hmm. You know, we were financially dependent on him, you know, so it's a lot of different things. A lot of things I could have stood up and I could have left, you know, but I think a lot of women in our situation, it's not, if it was just me, I could have gone. I could have fled. Mm-hmm. I had 4 kids, and calling a shelter and they're allowing you 3 days, you know, that's, I'm not going to put my kids through that.
Right.
You know, so you stop thinking about yourself and you think about them. Well, my kids are now 17, 21, 23, and 26. And they're okay. So right. It was time for me to be okay.
Yes.
Yeah. So I had to go backward and start to love myself, start to like myself, and think more of myself. I'm worth more than this.
Wow.
You know.
Your value.
Yes.
That reminds me of so many things. But one of the big things about knowing your value, there's a story that I use with that is the Rocky movie. And the person who the movie was modeled after, Wepner, I believe his name was a boxer who actually fought Muhammad Ali and lost.
Okay.
And when Sylvester Stallone approached him about doing this movie, he gave him 2 options. One, you can gain royalties and have a little bit of money at the time. Now, or you could take this large lump sum. And Wepner, not understanding his value, took the lump sum. Which, of course, Sylvester Stallone opted for the royalties and became a multimillionaire.
Right.
And that's so important because you named a few things. You named self-esteem, financial dependence, not understanding your value as a person, not forgiving yourself, being embarrassed by the situation. Those are all key, and any one of those could hold a person back or allow a person to stay in an abusive relationship longer than they need to. However, all of them were happening to you and kind of multiplying, which probably forced you to stay even longer.
Yes.
How did you do it? How did you physically say, okay, today's the last day. This is it. What happened?
Honestly, he left. He left, as he always threatened to do. He left, and he, but I always begged, I begged him back, always.
Mm-hmm.
And this time I refused to do it. You know, I started to pray. That's the first thing I did. I started to pray, ask God for strength to get through it. I used to pride myself on protecting my kids.
Mm-hmm.
And they were seeing, they were old enough to understand and see it. So I was no longer protecting them.
Wow.
So I told myself I wouldn't call them. I wouldn't talk to them. After I told my family, they really helped. They were so supportive. I had to refocus. and start planning on how I was going to rebuild. And that was my first prayer. God helped me I didn't want to be bitter, so get rid of the bitterness, the anger, and be able to sustain my family.
Right.
You know, and if I have to start completely over, that's what I have to do. It was scary, and I'm still going through it.
Right.
But I trust God enough to know everything that my family and I need, we have.
So when he left,
mm-hmm.
what steps did you take to keep him from coming back, to begin protecting your family in a different way,
mm-hmm.
to become financially independent?
Right.
What steps did you take? I think it's important to list those things because there may be people out there who either feel like they do not have a supportive family mm-hmm. or actually don't have a supporting family, and they want to know, how do I do this? How do I get out?
To keep him away from me, the first thing I had to do was get a restraining order,
mm-hmm.
which I found, being though when he left, he did some very violent things. So that helped me in court to get the restraining order.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know if you've been there, but in open court, there are people there trying to get the same thing you're getting, and they can't just go off your word, mm-hmm. which I thought was pretty dangerous. You know, if this woman is in fear of her life, you know, and you have history, give her a restraining order, even if it's temporary.
Right.
But that's the first thing I did. I got a restraining order. I started applying for jobs. My sister, who the book is actually dedicated to, told me to take all of my writing and put it together. People needed to hear my story.
Mm-hmm.
So I started kind of tapping in just outside of the box type of things. I started volunteering. Family Justice Center of Prince George's County is where I volunteer. And I think had they been there when I had to, because I had to go through the courthouse, and it was to walk through the courthouse halls was kind of daunting.
Mm-hmm.
But at the Family Justice Center, they have everyone there. They have the sheriff department. They have legal aid. They have shelter. They have like a plethora of agencies and organizations inside that are willing to help and right. able to help.
And that's the Family Justice Center where?
In Prince George's County, downtown, Upper Marlboro, right behind the courthouse.
So I want to stop here and say, mm-hmm. if I just want to talk to the audience, if you are a person who is in a domestic violence situation, go to your local, your county justice center or whatever that place may be called and ask for help. And
yes.
there are people there who will help you. There are a number of agencies that you can call, and you can seek them out and get help as Teresa did. Can we just take a break now and then we'll go to a commercial and we'll come right back. We are here with Miss Teresa Carroll, author, volunteer, and business owner.
Join Mary Weeks and Chris Oviedo on Columbia Matters Radio. Learn all the Columbia Association related news, events, and programs. Columbia Matters Radio airs every Sunday at 1:30 and Mondays at 9:30. You can take us with you by downloading the Dragon Digital Radio app on the iPhone and Android App Store or dragondigitalradio.podbean.com.
Welcome back to Vision and Voices. I am James Wing, your host. This is a podcast where ordinary people are doing extraordinary work in your neighborhood. Today, we're talking to Miss Teresa Carroll, author of the book, Palmful Disclosures. And before we go any further, we're going to ask Miss Carroll to grace us with a poem. Can we do that?
Yes. This poem is in the book, and it's called Forgiveness. Forgiveness. Never knew forgiveness, never admitted I was wrong, because admitting my mistakes would reveal my one too many flaws. So I'd hide behind the blame, focusing on him to focus away from me. Habitual misdirection is what I practiced and eventually believed. Never understood why I felt so stagnant through the years, why my life seemed to move in slow motion, far behind my peers. But it's because the baggage accrued and ignored simply would not just disappear. So I lived a lie because I was lost within, but portrayed a soul free and unaffected, ignoring the need for help, leaving my mental health fragile and neglected. For years, I always assumed that forgiveness was meant to be given to someone else, until it was explained to me that the same forgiveness given to others should also be given to myself. Guilt and shame can haunt you relentlessly, but past mistakes are just that, the past. You are still you. You haven't changed. The person you thought you'd lost was only masked. Hiding from the world, afraid of notice and recognition, not believing you were worthy, so fearful of the backlash of your admission. But learning to forgive requires nothing but the truth. No exaggeration or excuses. Your honesty is the only needed proof. I've ceased reflecting on the what ifs, the hows and whys, as I stare at my reflection and look into my eyes, and finally say to myself for the very first time, I love you with all of my heart, and to you I truly apologize.
Wow. Are we supposed to snap or something like that?
That's the user.
Wow. That's beautiful because, as we talked about earlier, forgiving yourself is the most important piece.
Yes.
So let's talk a little bit about your mental health and what your mental state was, kind of going through that process and how you overcame.
My mental state, I was just existing. Honestly, I used to focus on distractions, mm-hmm. So I have four kids, so they were a major distraction for me. I focused on them. I focused on family. I did everything to not focus on my situation. So mentally, I was okay living through them. Mm-hmm. When it came to the point to where they got older and didn't want to be around mom or need mom as much, it started weighing on me heavily. And I started counseling because I didn't know how to deal with all of the issues. I knew what I needed to do. I knew that I didn't need to be there, but I just couldn't make the steps. I didn't marry to divorce. That's not something I wanted. I really hoped that we would have gotten it together, but unfortunately we didn't.
Let's switch gears a little bit. Mm-hmm. Let's talk about what you're doing now, mm-hmm. to help others. Let's talk about your company, your nonprofit organization.
Okay.
Let's give folks the name of that and what the mission is.
Okay. Well, I started off with Goodness and Grace, LLC. And that was just to help everyone, honestly. God gave me this big heart, and I thank him every day because after all I've been through, my heart is resilient. It still loves, it still gives, it still wants to give. And I started with my church, helping the homeless. But I saw there was a need, and I noticed that a lot of organizations would give to you if you were a nonprofit, mm-hmm. Organization. So I started the paperwork on my 501c. The one I started after the book was published is called Poemful LLC. And basically I know where my issues started at 6. Mm-hmm. So I wanted to start workshops for kids, mm-hmm. and help them with their low self-esteem and confidence. I feel like if you get to them at an early age and teach them how to love themselves and teach them their worth and their value and not to compare themselves to other people, then they have a better chance than I had or a lot of the adults have. But I've noticed after people have purchased the book and read the book, a lot of women are coming out, as well as men. They're coming out and they're wanting workshops. They want to know how they can begin to heal. It's a lot of broken people out here, right. So even men coming to me, this man came to me and told me that it helped him talk to his daughter to see if she had any issues with him, reading about the fact that my biological father wasn't there. And that's when all of this started. He had to go home and reassure that he was doing his part. So
you're focused on not only working with folks and children, especially to build themselves up, mm-hmm. to understand their value, their worth, but then also to start conversations.
Right.
Because I guess that's the bottom line, where people need to talk to one another about what's going on inside of them that might make them lash out violently or to do something abusive to someone.
Right.
We need to talk about those things. That's very powerful.
Well, a lot of people, they give me the side eye when I say I don't hate my ex. In the book, I actually wrote a poem where I feel like he had low self-esteem as well.
Mm-hmm.
A happy person is not going to do that to someone else. If you're happy with yourself, you don't have to beat me down or
right.
make me feel less than.
Right.
And I just spoke to a woman's group this past weekend, and I told them that we talk to our little girls about empowerment and standing up and being independent and loving yourself, but we leave our little boys behind. Like they're strong enough to deal with it, but they have issues they need to deal with too, you know, and to resolve. So, you know, they look at me like I'm crazy when I say I don't hate him. I feel sorry for him, and I hope he gets the help he needs.
Right.
Yeah.
I am in awe. I mean, because it seems so deep and so sincere, but you're touching on all of the pieces that we hear about, where we might hear one part of the story. You hear someone that says, I suffer from domestic violence because I had low self-esteem.
Right.
You're saying that, yes, I had low self-esteem, but then saying, you know what? I bet he did too.
Yeah.
And to even extinguish yourself in that way, I guess that only happens when you first forgive yourself.
Yeah.
For whatever you had to do to overcome.
And then you had to forgive them.
Yes.
As hard as it is, you have to forgive them. And I thank God that I was able, and I'm able to look at not just him, but everyone. It's like, if this person is a nasty person, a mean person, there's something behind that. Right. You know, you go to the schools and they say this is a bad child. No, why are they acting up? Why are they acting out? There's right. something behind that. They're not just like that, you know. We need to be more compassionate and considerate and find out what the root is.
Right. Yeah. So the book is called Poemful Disclosures.
Yes.
And where can people get it?
Poemful Disclosures is available on Amazon, Kindle, and at my website, www.poemfulllc.com.
This is a part of you putting the pieces back together, right?
Yeah.
You also have Goodness and Grace and you're doing what you're doing with nonprofits and volunteering.
Right.
But the book is important. And so we want to make sure that we let folks know to go out and get the book and to help you come back, read the book, and possibly help themselves overcome issues that they're having in their life as well.
Yes. Yes.
All right. Well, thank you very much. It's been great having you.
Thank you. Thank you for the opportunity and thank you for having me.
What's next?
Well, I just started on my next book. But hopefully just this exposure will help me get to more people. You know, a lot of nonprofits have reached out to me. They want to partner. And it's all about just helping our community and making sure that no one else has to go through this road, because I'm one of the lucky ones. I'm still alive and breathing to tell. You know, a lot of us didn't make it. So
next step for you is to partner with others who are having issues and those who are helping people with issues to
overcome. Prevention.
And prevention.
Prevention. Yeah.
Very important. This has been James Wynn, and we've talking to Miss Teresa Carroll on Vision and Voices, a podcast where ordinary people are doing extraordinary work in your neighborhood. Check us out on Dragon Digital Radio at Howard Community College.